JLO News, I'm Luca Caruso Moro. A Quebec court has issued an injunction against Gatnawaga-Renu protesters, ordering them to clear a blockade on a line of rail running through their community. According to CBC News, Premier François Legault said the blockade needs to be lifted for the good of the economy. The protesters are blocking the tracks in solidarity with hereditary chiefs in Wet'suwet'en who oppose the construction of a pipeline through their community. Gatnawaga peacekeepers, the local police equivalent, say they have no intention of enforcing the court order to remove the blockade. In other news, Premier François Legault unveiled his vision to upgrade schools across the province. Last year, the CAQ announced a $4 billion fund for school renovation projects. Legault said the fund would go towards the 1,800 schools in need of repair. Natural light, more outdoor space, and locally sourced materials will be prioritized during renovations. However, the CAQ did not give a timeline. To hear the newscast and learn more about the news team, visit cjlo.com/news.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are experiencing technical difficulties. Please stand by.
Please stand by.
Please stand by.
There is no beauty, only ugliness. There is no glamour, only ghastly blemish. All romance disfigured.
Hey everybody, it's 4 to 6 on a Sunday, which means it's time for Great Explosives. With me, Andrew, I'm making noises with my face. Right. Oh my gosh. Hey everybody, it is the first day of Mother Metal March. That was a self-edit, so don't even tell me otherwise. I know when my vocal cords move, and you do not. And what does that mean? Well, it means there is a ton of stuff going on at the station, all relating to loud, angry, aggressive, and generally, stuff that is dark, and that you might or might not like. You know? I don't know. I don't know if you like it. I don't know if you don't like it. Presumably, if you're listening to this show, you do like it. You know, I'm just throwing it out there. Today's show, to start off Metal March, I am kicking it off right. Right to you. I'm going to start off with an interview with Lutharo. Lutharo? There's an umlaut over the O, so I don't know what the proper pronunciation is. We'll find out. Anyway, we'll have an interview with them during this first hour of the show. The second hour, which you might be able to hear if you listen real close-like. Hold on. me turn this. You hear that? No? Well, I tried. Hold on, let's go back on this. That's the fuzzy sounds of the Hazy Tones coming at you here in the studio. They're going to be playing songs for you during the second hour, doing a live to-air session for you, and then a special bonus hour where I'll be talking with the fine gents of Special Ops to talk about their latest record, Blood and Tears, and the shows they're going to be playing with it. But first, let's start off this hour, with a band that is today. We're doing a special thing during the month here, which is called a band advent calendar. And I waited until this is done so that you kind of can hear it properly. But here's how this works. You know those advent calendars that you get during the holidays, Christmassy times? And you open it up and there's like, oh, look at the little piece of chocolate that I get to eat today. Well, we're doing that only for bands and albums, right? Specifically, loud, aggressive albums. And we thought we would kick off the month right with some Meskiren, who have come into this show before and have chatted with us. I'm going to play something off of their album that is for free right now. If you go to CJLO's Facebook page, you can click on the link and go, oh, wait, no, hold on. Meskiren, that's not right. I'm thinking wrong. Because the lead singer of Meskiren is also in the band for today, Keys of Orthanc. Whew, that was almost very embarrassing. So anyway, go today to CJLO's website and go check out Keys of Orthanc. They have a link to their Bandcamp, and you can go and download their record for free today. And if you want to kick them some bucks for being awesome, you should, because it will be a good time. I am going to play At the Gate off of their album A Battle in the Dark Lands of the Eye, which, if you have not figured it out, is about Lord of the Rings. So feel free to check this out. Go to CJLO's Facebook, download the record, kick them some money, because bands don't make a lot. Enjoy this. CJLO, 1690 AM, and stay tuned for an interview with Lutharo. Coming up here, first hour of the show. Enjoy this. We'll be right back.
trombonist Audrey Ochoa has achieved the ideal, influential compositions meticulously crafted with playful liberation. After two chart-topping international albums, Chronograph Records gives you her most ambitious project to date, Frankenhorn. Audrey Ochoa combines strings, horns, and a rhythm section with electronic remixes and chamber music, boldly fused with Latin and contemporary jazz. Frankenhorn, on all digital platforms now.
If you want us to metal up your hole, then tune in to Burn Offerings on Sunday 6-8. I'll bring the come get your on. See Joe, 6090 AM.
Canadian metal!
Yeah.
Canadian metal!
You're listening to CJLO, 1690 AM.
CJLO, 1690 AM. That's correct. That is what you just heard identified through that thing that we in radio call an ID. I know, we're crazy here, right? Let's go over what you've heard here at the top of the show, leading to now. First thing you heard was Keys of Orthanc with At the Gates, who, if you go to CJLO's Facebook / Twitter / whatever else we're posting things on, you can have a link to go to their Bandcamp and download their record for free today. So don't be like, you know, a loser and be like, oh, I can't do it today because I have to family or something. Just forgo your family and just download the record if you have to. You'll see them tomorrow. It's fine. That was At the Gate from their album In the Dark Lands of the Eye. And then after that, you heard some Lutharo, which I'm probably saying wrong because there's an umlaut at the end of the band's name. That was Unleash the Beast. That was the track Black Scorpion off of Unleash the Beast. There we go. I said it right. And you might be saying to yourself, Andrew, didn't you say a member of that band would be calling in to chat with you? Well, in fact, you are correct. Very good, listener. I have Krista from... and it's Lutharo regular, or is there some specialty because of the umlaut on there?
I would say nope, there's no special
All right.
way of saying it. You're saying it right, Lutharo.
Okay.
yeah, we just add those for decoration, more or less.
Okay. Well, I have Krista from Lutharo, who is the lead singer / screamer / guttural growler, whatever she's doing at that particular time. That's an accurate description, I think?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hyping me up.
And Krista, normally I think that by the time bands get to me, they've already done a bunch of interviews. So let me start this off the same way I do all of my interviews. What's a question that you don't want to be asked or you're tired of answering? If I have it on this extensive list I have, we'll strike it. You won't have to address it.
Honestly, I couldn't tell you. I haven't done like that many interviews, and they've all been pretty different. So honestly, I couldn't tell you.
Wow, that is, that must be interesting because most times bands are like, yes, I have a lot of questions that are the same throughout all of my interviews. So
even if I have to answer things a few times, like there'll be different people listening to different things and then they want to get the answers to these questions as well. Right. So, yeah, anything.
All right. Fair enough. Fair game. Then let's start this sucker off then. Let me start off by bringing up the new album, Wings of Agony. It's coming out in March. It's very good. I've got to listen to it because, you know, industry privilege and all that. I have read in previous interviews that your songwriting used to be that Victor would come up with parts and then everyone else would kind of add on to them. Is that still the case for this record? Did you kind of approach writing it the same way?
It's kind of like a group thing now. It's more like... say Victor will bring an idea or John will bring an idea. We even have like new stuff now where our bass player Chris has written almost a full song. So it's kind of a group effort where someone will come up with a riff or like a skeleton of a song, and then it kind of gets its own little parts added to it by everybody, and then I'll throw my lyrics and melody on top of it, and yeah.
Are you usually always kind of the last step of the process, or are you writing kind of concurrently with everyone, adding things in as they go?
It really depends on the song, because there's certain ones where we'll be at practice and they're writing something or coming up with whatever, and then inspiration strikes right at that moment, and I've got like a full set of lyrics and a full chorus written. And then other times I'll have to take it home and I'm kind of lagging a bit because I'm lacking whatever inspiration or something. But it's different for every song or every piece of every song, really.
Okay. Well, I read that these songs, particularly for Wings of Agony, are ones that you chose from after you were kind of working on a bunch of them, which after reading the particular quote from it, it led me to believe that you had other ones that you could have done to kind of make a full-fleshed album if you wanted to. What is that the case? You could have made one, but you decided to do an EP. Is that kind of how it went along for this? Or was there ones that you were just like, oh, these fit together. They're more thematically well-rounded. Let's put these out.
Yeah, it was kind of more like these songs fit really well together, and we wanted to get something out sooner than later because we were under a little bit of a time crunch and we hadn't put something out in what felt like forever. So we're like, let's just do an EP this time and do what songs like flow the most with each other.
Do you think that kind of EPs are the way that Lutharo will go from now on? Because there are so many bands now that are like, why should we put out a full-length album when people's attention spans are like moving on to the next thing so quickly, when it would be better to just keep putting out like an EP every year to stay fresher in their minds?
It's so true. We've had this discussion so much, and even more so lately, because people have been asking us to do a full-length, but the last two times it just kind of worked out to be an EP because, people's attention spans can be pretty short, and you want to stay active in the scene and keep putting out things as quickly as you can, obviously making them still sound good. But yeah, I find that it keeps people's attention more, and like releasing singles or videos, that's a one way to get in people's minds as well. I think we're going to go with a full length next time just because we've been harassed a lot. So I think that's the way we're going to go next time. But no promises.
Of course, there's nothing promised or set in stone in the music industry ever.
Yeah, no, we learned that the hard way.
Well, yeah, it has been a bit between your last release and this one. There's usually two answers that I get from bands concerning why there's a huge gap. Well, not that this one's like a, you know, Tool-sized gap or anything, but that between albums or EPs, what is it for you guys? Is it more we didn't have enough money to do this, or there was all kinds of time issues with the bands? That's the two that I normally hear.
Yeah, that's you hit the hammer on the pretty much. we've had so many member changes. We've looked for a drummer for forever, and we finally have one, a full-time one. But yeah, having member changes, just things going wrong along the way with recording and whatever else. We have really bad luck as a band. So it's mostly been just stuff within the band. Money, we were pretty good with, because we recorded a good chunk of it with our guitar player, John, and then we went to Tyler Williams from Monolithic Productions, and then we ended up going to Lasse Lemaire, I hope that's said right, LSC Studios for the mastering. So it was kind of, we went to a few different places, so we were kind of trying to keep a budget in mind. But yeah, the member changes slowed us down big time.
as they do all the time. Yeah. this is a bit of what would be the phrase, inside baseball, as it were, for people listening. But I was reading through your one sheet for the new album, and I usually don't bring anything with this up because one sheets are, you know, basically like a thing that bands just kind of put out to give like a general idea, but I found yours to be particularly interesting because you literally had a fun facts section. Which
they gave us the option for that, and we delivered.
I find that very refreshing because so many times I read these and it's just like, oh, okay, we played with this band and we played with that one. But this one actually had something that I could foresee as being a fun thing that bands enjoyed doing. So I just wanted to ask, like, whose idea was that? For was that PR? Was that you guys?
We had the option within our like PR questions.
Okay.
Listed there for fun facts, and we wanted to, like, obviously we want to be professional and give everyone the right details and everything, but we also obviously, like, we want to have fun with it too. So we're like, we're going to fill out this section. Like, we can't have everyone thinking that we have a stick up our butt, you know, so.
Well, I mean, you're not a black metal band after all. If so, then you could totally do that.
Yes, we want to keep some fun in the band, you know.
Along with that, what is going on with your weather machine that makes it so that wherever you go, there's extreme weather that happens?
Oh my goodness, I don't know what it is, but every time we play a show, anywhere, it's either snowing heavily or raining heavily. And even the day that we released Wings of Agony as a music video, there was a snowstorm here. And I'm like, well, we picked the right day for it, that's for sure. It follows us wherever we go. When we recorded our music video for Wings of Agony, coming home from Ottawa, there was a huge snowstorm and like a huge accident. So it took us like 12 hours to get home. It was brutal.
Jesus.
Yeah, we're like, this is how we know it's going to be good.
Well, so what we should do is expect that there will be a large snowstorm on the 7th when you're here at Piranha Bar then?
Yeah.
Along with...
I'm prepared for that.
Along with Crippitus, who you seem to be very excited to go on tour with. You've maybe made like a Beavis and Butthead-inspired poster for it, sort of.
Yeah, they actually made that. I thought it was pretty cool when I seen it. It's, definitely unique. It looks like one of the members may have drawn it or something, but... It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I do like. Do you guys? I presume you two bands know each other well.
Oh,
really?
Actually met. We've been talking through like online kind of thing, but that's as much as we know each other, pretty much.
Interesting, because I've seen a couple of these that have been cropping up lately, and it's usually like. Two bands who like, oh man, we've played so many shows together and it's just been awesome and I'm so excited to go on like a longer tour with them. That's really interesting then.
Yeah, it was. We kind of just got lucky where they were playing a date that was the same as us. I can't remember which one, if it was Ottawa or Montreal, but then we just ended up asking them if we could hop on the rest of the dates with them and they were cool with it. So we're super lucky to have that.
Well, I'm excited to see you guys play on the 7th at Piranha. It will be a good time. And for all of you listening, you should go to the show. It'll be fun and a good time. And don't be lame and be like, oh, I gotta like do something the next day. No, none of that. Just go enjoy the show.
Snowstorm that may happen that day either.
Well, yeah, that's true. Like, maybe brave the snowstorm. You should. Still brave it anyway. Let me ask you about Hamilton, because here in Montreal, we recently, obviously we're kind of like a much bigger territory, like I guess demographically and all that fun business word, buzzword things. But is there a strong like metal scene in Hamilton? Are you guys an anomaly?
It seems to be good. It's, I find it fluctuates. It's kind of like there's parts where there's so many shows going on and, so many new bands popping up and stuff, and the scene's doing good, and then all of a sudden it drops and there's nothing for a long time, and then it just kind of goes up and down all the time. I find it depends on people promoting shows and stuff, and maybe people having breaks in between albums, or like even a break in the winter time too, just because it's so cold. But it depends, but when it's good, it's good.
So since you guys are active right now, does that mean that there's a blizzard of heavy music that's being produced right now?
I don't know. Like, for us or for other bands?
I mean, in general, it's interesting to kind of look at, I always like to get kind of like a feel for other towns across Canada, because, you know, when you're wherever you are, whether it be Montreal, Toronto, Vancouver, you kind of think around your scene where it is, right? Like, you think locally. But, you know, it's always good to kind of get a pulse for what's going on in other places to see what the deal is.
For sure. I feel like everyone, I know our friends in Raider are releasing a new album as well, so we're going to play their CD release. I feel like a lot of bands waited until this year. Like, I feel like there's a lot of new albums coming out this year. So I'm hoping that that will bring the scene up once again, and we'll have tons of shows again, especially going into the summer. Okay. Always shows in the summer and lots going on.
Oh, well, yeah, of course. It's Canada during the summer. You have to get out as much as you can when you can.
Yes, exactly. For like maybe the 2 months of summer.
Well, let me step into a bit of a minefield, as it were, a bit of controversy here. This is a difficult question for me to kind of work around, so bear with me for a second here. I have been toying with the idea of including in some of my questionnaires, or when I do interviews, adding the question of, what is it like to be a woman in metal? Which I'm sure you've heard if you've gotten these interviews many, many times.
I knew you were going to say that. As soon as you said controversy, controversy, I knew exactly what you were going to ask.
And I used to put these in for a period of time. I was doing that until I asked my initial question of something you don't want to be asked. And one of the women in the band said, please don't ask what it's like to be a woman in metal, because it is putting me in a place where it basically puts a label on me that I don't necessarily want. Like, I just want to be a fan, a person participating in metal, and not be like in this like section of women in metal. How do you feel about that question being posed to you?
It's hard to answer, because on one hand, yes, you do want to be just considered every other person, a metalhead in general, and just being like the same as every other person. You don't want to feel like you're a gimmick or something like that just for being a woman. But at the same time, there was a time where females weren't really welcomed in this scene, and even sometimes I've like still felt that way, where there's like people who react weirdly to seeing you up there. So like, a lot of people have come up to me and said, you're the first girl I've ever seen do something like this. Like, that's incredible. It's never a negative response, but at the same time, it's like, whoa, like, this is still new to people, you know. I don't even know how to answer it, because yes, obviously I want to be known as just a regular person in metal, but it does need to be kind of celebrated a little bit, I guess, that women are getting more regular
seen,
you know, and recognized. But it definitely doesn't need to have its own title of like female fronted metal, you know, like that's a little bit like, I'm not crazy about that, because especially when people put on shows and they're like putting all these different female bands together that don't necessarily belong together. Like, if you put us with, I don't know, like Epica or something, it's like, they're an amazing band, but do they fit with us? Not necessarily. But we would get put together because we're both female fronted bands.
Yeah, it is weird to kind of think, that's an interesting point, that it is still feels new to people, when like, this shouldn't be new at this point. I mean, look at all of the women that have been in metal before, like Doro, even like going back to like Joan Jett, like big names that have been doing this on large stages forever. It feels odd that there would even be like this kind of disconnect of, oh, I've never seen a woman on stage. But yes, I imagine that is true still for people.
Oh, for sure. I get it. At least once a show, someone comes up to me and says that. And I'm like, it never bothers me, because it's always like a positive thing, where like, nobody's come up to me and said anything bad about my performance or like that I am a female up there, but at the same time it takes me back and I'm just like, really? Have you been under like a rock?
I've never heard of these women in music. What do they do?
Yeah, it's a little crazy. I could probably go on with this topic for forever, as I'm sure a lot of females could, but yeah.
Well, fair enough. Let's move then to something a little bit lighter here. I guess a little bit lighter. It's Metal March here at CJLO, where we're kind of celebrating metal and loud forms of music. And I've been curious because I've been going through kind of my own personal history and seeing what led me down this dark path down to, metal related things. I've been able to pinpoint mine. So I'm interested to hear what other people's are. What do you first kind of remember as the like genesis of your like getting into I guess metal or darker things, whatever it might be?
Okay. I know, yeah, it was back in high school. When I was in high school, I started to go to shows, mostly like hardcore, because that was when people were in this big emo and scene phase, I guess. And so there was a lot of hardcore shows and a lot of that kind of thing going on. And I liked like hardcore metal. I liked the heaviness of it.
Hmm.
And like the rawness behind it, but I knew it wasn't really the genre for me, but it was kind of my like gateway into heavier music. But it wasn't until I heard Megadeth as soon as I heard Megadeth, it was like I transformed into this like crazy metalhead. And that was back in, I believe, 2000 and I don't even know, like 10, 11. Because I was into heavier music and metal, but as soon as I heard Megadeth, Pantera, stuff like that, I was sold. And that's what, like, transformed me completely.
Megadeth. 1 point for you. There we go. I'm going to keep track of this for the month and see what I can get from it. I'm interested to see. Like, maybe I'll make some sort of, like, a weird, quasi-intellectual paper about it. No, that's probably not going to happen. What's the worst musical instrument?
The worst musical instrument?
Yeah.
I don't know. Honestly, I couldn't tell you. They're all pretty good in their own way.
All right.
So like, use the right way, they can all be pretty good. There was one I seen. It was like a Japanese instrument. I can't remember what it was called, but it almost looked like it was a face. And it made this weird noise. I don't remember what it was called, but it was like the strangest thing.
What?
Say that's probably the worst and best instrument I've ever witnessed at the same time.
That's very bizarre. I don't know what you're talking about, but that is going to lead me down a pretty dark Google path, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing you guys play on March 7th at Piranha, along with Crypticus, Skull Mace, Ignominy. So, is that it? Is that all that I'm looking at here? Yeah, okay, good. I got them all. Score. Is there anything that you guys have special planned for Montreal? Or is it just, you're just going to come and, like, rock our faces off and that'll be enough?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Gonna come rock out, eat some good food, meet some good people, have some drinks, and yeah, pretty much.
Cool. Well, I thought it would be good to play the title track off of Wings of Agony, since I believe, if I recall correctly from earlier in this interview, which is possible I don't, you have a video for Wings of Agony.
We do.
So I'm gonna play that and let that kind of entice people to come out to the show. So everyone, go out and see Lutharo March 7th at Piranha. It will be a good time for everyone. At least I assume so. I don't see why it wouldn't be. I mean, the snowstorm will obviously make it a bit more cozy, so.
Yes, it'll make it a little more challenging for you to get there, but once you're there, you'll enjoy yourself.
Well, Krista, thanks so much for calling in and chatting.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
No problem. And here is some Lutharo for you. Enjoy this. This is off Wings of Agony, which you can get in at in March, later in March. Can people get it at the show? Will they be able to get a copy of it, or will it be still too early?
For these shows, no, it won't be a physical copy won't be released until April 4th at our CD release.
Okay. So everyone, stay locked onto Lutharo's various Facebooks, Twitters, things like that. Lutharo Band on Facebook. Is it the same for Twitter and all of those?
Yes, I believe it is.
All right. Well, everyone, stay locked to Lutharo to get to see when the album drops, and you can listen to it with your hot little ears. And until then, enjoy Wings of Agony off the record. Krista, thanks again.
Thank you.
And here you go. Enjoy this, everyone. The Hazy Tones will be playing live in the second hour, so keep it locked.
Nobody wake up this day. Are you ready to hear and see new challenge in music that mixes electroacoustics, instrumental music, video, and theater? Come at Jesu on March 8th at 8 p.m. for a taste of the best creations of the Montreal student community, a concert presented by the Vivier Interuniversitaire.
Nine out of 10 doctors recommend a steady diet of heavy metal riffs. And that last guy is a poser. So tune in to Sin After Sin, 10 p.m. every Wednesday, for your weekly dose of old-school, earth-shattering metal. Only on CJLO. Consuming riffs may cause whiplash and or liver failure. Please headbang responsibly.
Listening to CJLO 1690 AM.
CJLO 1690 AM, that's a midnight with Escape the Grave, which is something that I guess they do all the time. They're going to be coming in March for some exciting stuff. Before that, you heard some Lutharo with Wings of Agony off of the EP of the same name. And before that, you heard an interview with Krista from Lutharo. Big thanks to her for calling in and chatting with me. So, you know, there's all of that fun stuff for you to enjoy. And now, let me, speaking of concerts, which there are a lot coming this month, like a lot. Did you know that CJLO gives away tickets to concerts sometimes? What are you talking about? Gives away tickets to concerts. That's crazy talk. I know, but we do that. And if you are a person that wants some free tickets to a show, I have a thing for you. And that is, if you want to text in here to CJLO, you know, on our fine, fine phone line at 514-848-7471, you can be entered into a contest to go see Cult of Luna and, more importantly, Intronaut tomorrow when they're playing at the Corona Theater. Eh? Yeah? A pair of tickets. Not just one. Well, I wouldn't just give you one ticket. What am I, a monster? No, of course. I am a person that wants you to enjoy a show. So you and a friend can go see Cult of Luna and Intronaut tomorrow. There's another band too, but I mean, I'm going to be honest with you, even though they're second on the bill, I don't really care. I am mainly here for Intronaut. Very much in for Intronaut. So, you know. If you're interested in that, feel free to text in here to 514-848-7471. Tell me what band you're interested in seeing. You know, if you want to see the second band, whoever they are, you can go look it up and tell me and be like, I want to see them for free dollars. And I'll be like, cool. If you want to see Intronaut, tell me that. I'll enter you into the contest. It'll be that simple. I'll be drawing at the end of this extra long show, which is happening. And in fact, because I want to hype this show, and I find it important that Intronaut is here, let's play a song off of the new Intronaut album, which is called Fluid Existential Inversions. So that just sounds like three words that they threw together for no rhyme or reason, right? Great. Let's do Speaking of Orbs, which sounds like a good name and title for this. And then in hour two, we'll have the Hazy Tones play for you right here. So get your names in. Send me your texts. 514-848-7471 if you want to go see Intronaut as well as Cult of Luna at Corona tomorrow. Keep it locked. This is Great Explosive CJLO 1690 AM.